Rebecca Canty, Special Projects Editor at EG, and I'm standing here with Rob Sadler, who is head of the Cambridge office for Savills. We've just had a fantastic Cambridge Question Time debate and some really optimistic feelings about the impact that the life sciences sector and the R&D sector is going to, well, is making already, but is still going to make. And Rob, you say we're only just at the beginning.
I believe that. I think we're just very much at the beginning of the process. Many people will look back and think that it was actually AstraZeneca and then coming to Cambridge that sort of sparked off this scientific revolution. But actually, it's been happening many, many years before that in terms of all the spin-out companies that we see from the university. But I think going forward now, the issues that we've got and certainly the shortage of supply that we've identified, there's probably only about a year and a half worth of lab accommodation in the Cambridge market coming through. So we are really going to hit the buffers. And I think quite often we do need to step back and just look at the importance of Cambridge, the importance of the scientific work that's being carried out here. And it is not just regionally or even nationally. Companies want to come to Cambridge because they want to establish their European post here, and it will be Cambridge. And I think what we've also found is that it isn't just about the property cost. We use this expression quite a lot, this race for talent, and it's exactly what that is, that companies are wanting to come into Cambridge and tap into that talent that's been created by the university and also supported by the world-leading hospital. And what is fascinating is that when you start to compare and join up the dots, Cambridge has probably got more in common with Boston in the US. If you took the top 10 pharma clients and companies in Boston, US, eight of those already in Cambridge. What we're looking at is looking at where the next wave of companies are going to be coming from and looking at establishing their positions here in Cambridge. The other factor that they're also looking at, these companies, is employment costs. And we understand that it is now approximately 40% cheaper to employ the same level of scientist in the UK than it is the US. And that's a huge number. So the sector is certainly got more to give, and certainly Cambridge must embrace that for the next generation.
What sort of spaces are they demanding? What are they looking for and where?
That's a very good question. I think it's a whole range. But if you just took the life science sector, it's looking at laboratory space. And I think the question and one of the dilemmas that we've got here in the UK is how we deliver that space. There's certainly a shortage of what we call wet laboratory space at the smaller end of the scale, but it's hugely expensive to bring that forward. And when you look at build costs, you're talking about a build cost to build a laboratory of about £180, £200 a foot. But to fit that laboratory out, it's going to cost another £200, £250 a foot. So you're doubling your build costs. But it's something that we do need to look at, and it's a challenge, because if we can bring in some of the smaller companies and grow those companies that are coming through the university, it will be those companies that then will step forward and take the larger spaces in years to come.
So how do we overcome these challenges with building the small laboratory spaces?
Well, I think that's how we need to look at the government and trying to look at some of the funding. And the issue with Cambridge is that there are many objectors or people out there that say that we don't need any support, we don't need any funding because Cambridge is doing okay, one of the most successful cities in the UK. But if we really want to tap into the next generation, we need some support, particularly at those low-level laboratory sizes, the 1,000 to 2,000 square foot mark, and coming in and fitting those offices in laboratories. That's where we need support.
How big can it get in Cambridge in terms of the life sciences sector?
I don't think we want to, or instantly think that in order to get big and competitive, you need to carve up the greenbelt and you need to expand and we need to become a city. We've got a population of 120,000 and we need to be a city the size of Manchester or Birmingham. What we do need to do is make sure that we provide the right services and the right space for these companies coming in. And we don't need to do that by just tearing up the greenbelt. There will be, and we've seen this, a lot of collaboration between science companies. And that doesn't mean you need more space. And if we've got the science here, that's the key.
John New made an interesting point, John New from ABP London.
Yeah.
that, you know, we could be effectively putting all our eggs into one basket here with life sciences. Why not think about some other industries that can generate growth and encourage more graduates to stay in Cambridge, for example? What were your thoughts on that?
Absolutely. Life science isn't the only sector. And if you look at the Northern Fringe, the Science Park, Business Park, and St. John's Innovation Park, they're all geared around technology, and they're all thriving and they're all expanding. But just coming back to the point of life science, we're all getting older, you know, so that business is, to a certain extent, future-proof. And, you know, there is a continued drive to find more cures for diseases.
Okay, and just a quick last word on tall buildings. Do you think there should be taller buildings in Cambridge? Why and where?
I said taller buildings, not tall buildings, because I think we are, you know, we are mindful of that Cambridge is a medieval city. The university's been around for 800 years, and we need to protect that that environment for generations to come. But, you know, the tallest buildings, office buildings in Cambridge, as they stand at the moment, is only 6 stories, which is relatively low rise. And if we can start to just push that boundary, and through good design and very good architecture, there's no reason why we can't be pushing sort of 8-9 stories without damaging the character of Cambridge.
Great. Rob Sadler from Savills, thank you very much.
Thank you.